How do I buy tickets for that show? Where is the closest restaurant with a view? My kids are with me. Is there an age restriction for that attraction?
These are just some of the questions that the new Vegas Near Me app will answer for you. Vegas Near Me quite literally takes the guesswork out of planning your next Las Vegas trip. It is so helpful.
With constantly updated information, business hours, menus, ticket prices, parking costs, Vegas Near Me is a one-stop shop.
It really is. And here's the deal. It's free and you don't have to sign up, become a member. It is simple. Download Vegas Near Me today from the Apple App Store or from Google Play. If it's fun to do or see, it's on Vegas Near Me. Welcome everyone to episode 190 of Vegas Revealed. What will strip restaurants serve up as the Formula One crowd comes to town? We dine around the Grand Canal shops and reveal our favorites.
And as the F1 race draws closer, NASCAR speeds into town. Hear what the head of the Speedway thinks of the European road race being held here.
And an off-strip resort casino opens in November, but you can book a stay now. Find out how.
And our thoughts on Postcard from Earth over at the Sphere, a fine dining celebration coming to Las Vegas, and the Culinary Union continues its contract talks with a possible strike looming.
Plus, Pink dazzles with her Vegas concert, marking a first at Allegiant Stadium. All that and more coming up on Vegas Revealed.
Spin that wheel.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 190 of Vegas Revealed. I'm Dana Roselli, along with Sean McAllister. Welcome, October.
Man, and what an October it's been. Just over the past week, I went to the Pink concert, and it was one of those nights in Las Vegas where, like, everything was happening. Mm-hmm. You had Pink on stage. You had Katy Perry. You had U2. You had Imagine Dragons hosting a gala. You had Shaquille O'Neal hosting his gala. And this was plus a ton more stuff than that. But that was just one night.
Yeah. I mean, that I feel like that's all the time now, right? Which is a given. I chose to stay home and watch Netflix, and I loved every minute of it, by the way. It was amazing. I laid out by the pool all day and just showered and watched TV. But yeah, you enjoyed Pink. I know so many people went to it. Tell me some of the highlights, because I know a lot of people were looking forward to the show, and I hear every time she performs here, Pink needs a residency show. So why don't you just quickly address that part of it, even though I know we've talked about it before.
Well, she does need a residency show. But the cool thing is that Pink, when she tours a show, she's essentially touring a Las Vegas residency show. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the caliber of production and the entertainment that you get from a Pink concert. So I would love to see what Pink could do if she just had a show that didn't have to move around, where she could utilize an entire theater space. She already uses entire arena spaces, but to just have a sit down show, I think would be phenomenal. Yeah. She played a lot of her, all of her big hits, plus some of her new music, which was fantastic. But what I loved is that her husband, Carrie Hart, was there in the crowd as well, because their daughter Willow performed with Pink during one of her songs.
Oh, okay. She had like a Beyonce moment, because I think Beyonce did that with her daughter too, right?
Yes. And she's done that. She's brought Willow out a couple times while she's been out on tour. It hasn't been every time, but it was a super cute moment. Carrie Hart was super proud to see his wife and daughter up there on stage. But both Pink and Carrie Hart on social media and Pink on stage, talked about how cool it was to be here in Las Vegas, because they both have such deep roots here. Carrie Hart was a longtime resident of Las Vegas and did a lot of his motocross racing here. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how it was over 20 years ago when he had a big race out at Sam Boyd Stadium when he started dating Pink.
Yeah.
And this is when she was performing at Rain Nightclub over at the Palms. She also mentioned the beach. Remember that nightclub?
It was
over by the convention center.
Yeah, it was actually near Channel 8 where I worked when I moved here.
Right.
2004.
Yep. So she brought up the beach and Rain nightclubs. So it was very nostalgic.
Yeah.
And you could tell that they both have, you know, deep roots here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I love Carrie Haar. I was in the helicopter as a reporter when I moved here, and we used to fly over his house all the time, and he had all the jumps in the backyard. And I always used to look at his backyard and go, that's so cool. That's where Carrie Haar lives. And you could always tell exactly what home it was because he had that huge, you know, track in the backyard. Track might be the right word, wrong word, but in the backyard. So it was really cool. Always loved him. Interviewed him at the Hard Rock many times, and he is just so in love with Pink. That's what I love about him. And he's not scared to show it, doesn't hide it. He doesn't try and act cool. Every time I've interviewed him, he just goes crazy talking about how proud he is of Pink, how much he loves her, how talented she is. I love that.
Super down to earth, yeah, too. He's a great guy. Pink, an incredible performer. This was one of her biggest shows ever.
Wow.
Inside Allegiant Stadium, a sellout crowd there. This was also a first for Allegiant Stadium, because recently it was announced that Allegiant Stadium has gone to 100% renewable energy to power that arena. And this was the first concert that was held there that was powered completely by renewable energy. So kind of a cool thing there.
Yeah, really cool. I love that. And yeah, for such a big, you know, a big stadium tour like that, she'd have to actually dumb it down a little, you know, a smaller scale to be in a Vegas theater. But she's talked recently, I think it was on Howard Stern show, how it can get a little difficult traveling a tour with the kids. And so maybe being planted somewhere in a town that Carrie Haar is obviously very familiar with could be something that would be down the road. I'm sure it'll happen at some point.
I would love it. Yeah. I mean, I've been a Pink fan for a long, long time. She is just such an incredible, I don't think she gets enough credit for her vocal abilities. She is such an incredible singer in addition to being an incredible performer.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've never heard anyone say, I don't like Pink.
No,
I don't like Pink music. No. I don't really like her. I mean, I feel like she's definitely got a lot of support. Hey, and side note, this came in just before the podcast. We didn't even have it planned. Christina Aguilera has announced shows at Voltaire at the Venetian, and she's going to be doing New Year's Eve weekend. That's going to be a very intimate space. We already told you Kylie Minogue is performing there. And then they said on October 13th, they're going to announce more shows for Christina. But at this moment, they're just announcing that New Year's Eve weekend.
Yeah, and there have been rumors that Christina was going to be the follow-up performer at Voltaire after Kylie, but it has just been made official.
Official, yeah. She's got quite a voice. I can't wait for that. That's going to be great. Hey, listen, we did a little dine around at the Grand Canal Shops recently, and, you know, we walk through there quick to get somewhere, or sometimes when we meet a friend, but we don't really often go there and restaurant hop, and so I really enjoyed this moment.
Yeah, it was. It was really cool. And we went over there to kind of get a taste of some of the flavors and dishes that are going to be served up during the F1 race here in Las Vegas. There's signs of F1 absolutely everywhere down in the resort corridor. But we stopped at Sushi Samba, Villa Azure, and Smith & Walensky. Those were the three spots that we dined around.
Yes. And, you know, we have so many restaurants in Las Vegas. It is hard to keep up, even doing what we do and being immersed in it all. I mean, like, I knew kind of that Smith & Walensky was there now, but I kind of forgot. So this was a great reminder.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. And that's a great spot, too.
It is. All right. But we started at Sushi Samba. And Sean, I have to say, we were sat down and immediately served this wasabi margarita. I am not a cocktail person. I am a dirty martini, vodka soda, or glass of wine or rosé kind of person. So I'm always hesitant with the cocktails. It was the most delicious cocktail I've ever had in my life. I was like, I loved it.
I think it was a unanimous vote of approval among our small group of people who were there dining. And everyone said, yep, this is my favorite cocktail. And you wouldn't think
it just tasted
that wasabi
good.
Goes with like the flavors of a margarita really well, but it works. It may sound weird, but it
delicious
works.
It was great. Yeah. Okay. So when you go to Sushi Samba, order the wasabi margarita, write us and thank us after because it's delicious. What else did we have there? We had a big dessert platter, which was also amazing. And this is something you can actually order if you're in town for F1 and kind of, you know, let the chef know kind of some of the things that you like and they kind of compile it for you.
Yeah. They have a bunch of different platters available. You can do a bunch of different kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, entree platters, appetizer platters. This was a dessert platter that we had, and everything was so good.
And I like little small, like, because if you're going to do a whole let's taste everything, when you have like big pieces of cake in front of you and there's like five dishes, you're like, whoa, that's all a lot. But this was perfect little bite-sized things. You could try everything.
Yeah, it was. My personal favorite there was the honey toast. They're cubes of grilled, thick-cut toast with a honey drizzle over the top. Mm-hmm. So good. And the sorbet that they had was also really, really good and packed with flavor.
Yeah. And then Sushi Samba is also one of a few restaurants in the world, we learned, to serve authentic Kobe beef. I didn't know that. And apparently it's officially certified by the Japanese Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries. So it's a big deal.
Yeah. And the chef was telling us that he went over to Japan, went to the farm where they get their beef from. So, I mean, he's been there. He's had his feet on the ground. He's seen the operation, and he actually chooses the cattle that comes back and is serving guests now over at Sushi Samba.
Yeah. Really cool to chat with him too. And I know they're getting excited for F1. They got a lot of people coming in and wanting to try different restaurants. So they want to make sure that they offer some unique things and also let people know what they're about, because, you know, they're going to be here for a few days and they have a lot of choice. Yeah. Then we went over to Villa Azur, which we've been to the grand opening of that restaurant, and we loved it, actually. We thought it was great, and it's a fun little party vibe, but we went in and had a special table. It was before the restaurant actually opened for the day, and so we got a little special treatment. They actually made us some tableside food and were able to tell us about some of their dishes.
Yeah, and the spaghetti dish that they served us was absolutely delicious. They kind of had a copper ladle that had some champagne in there. They set it on fire and poured it into a Parmesan wheel so that the cheese melted. Then they put the spaghetti into the Parmesan wheel, mixed it around, and then served it directly out of there. I mean, I could eat that every single day. Yeah. It was delicious.
It was delicious. Very strong flavor, though. Did you notice that?
Oh, incredibly.
So you might actually, you know, the portion they served us, I felt like, for me, was perfect. Because it was very flavorful and very strong. It was good. It was sharp. But we have some video that we'll have on our social media, too, if you want to check it out. And if you're watching the video podcast, you'll see a little bit of the process that we took with our phones.
And then I know, Dana, one of your favorites was the brie.
Oh, that was absolutely delicious. Because you think, like, sometimes you're like, well, it's cheese, right? But it's interesting because you slice it and you have it, and that's all you need to have. You don't like take a cracker and put anything with it.
Right.
It's a standalone dish, which was great. It had fig jam and truffle honey over it. It was warm. Mm. Actually, when we went to see Postcard from Earth a couple days later over near the Venetian, on our way back, we went to Villa Azur for a drink, me and my friend, and we ordered the brie. That's how much I loved it. So it's delicious. If you're there, order the brie. It's great.
And then the third stop on our Dine Around tour over at the Grand Canal Shops was at Smith & Walensky. Of course, it's a classic steakhouse out of New York. They have locations around the world, including here in Las Vegas. And this was an over-the-top experience. Yeah. We were greeted with caviar service and champagne as soon as we walked into the private dining room. And then it just got even better from there.
Yeah, we had seafood and we had, oh my gosh, so many cuts of delicious meat. It was so good. So good. And you guys had old fashions, and that was really cool because they were like smoking them. We have that video too, if you're watching the video podcast or social media.
Yeah, they not only did they smoke the cocktails, but there were also some really nice cuts of meat that were smoked as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was a hanging tomahawk steak. They have a Wagyu and wine service, if you're into that. There's seafood tower. Yes. The oysters were great.
Yeah. We had all of that. And that was our last stop. So we were like, oh my gosh, I can't eat anymore. We tried our best. That was delicious. And I loved the look of the restaurant there too. The bar area was great. Yeah. It was like a old school feel. I loved it. You felt like you were stepping into another country for sure.
Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. And one of the cool things about their private dining room, which you don't get in a lot of places, you know, you go into a private dining room at most restaurants and it's, you know, walled off, it's set in the back or to the side, and you don't get the restaurant ambiance. But here, the private dining room was upstairs and it's all glass walls. So you still feel like you're a part of the restaurant and not set apart from everybody.
Yeah, I agree. I always wonder why people do that. I understand that there's privacy and all that, but I'm like, if you're going to go out, you want to, I could just sit in my own living room or dining room and have, you know, you want to see
just
something.
Cater it in.
Right. So I love it. And it's above, like you said, so you kind of look down on the restaurant. It's a kind of a great view, really. Listen, they've been around since 1977. They have locations across the country in different spots. They're headquartered in Boston and they have seven locations, Miami Beach, Chicago, Las Vegas, Columbus, and then two restaurants in Boston. So we enjoyed that a lot. If you're looking for a good steakhouse, go to Smith & Wolinski if you're in town for F1 and you want to hit the canal chops.
Yeah. F1, not the only high-speed spectator sport that's here in Las Vegas. NASCAR sped into town as well for the fall race up at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. We've been to the last few races up at the Speedway, and it's just such a good time.
I love it. I love the Speedway. I love watching the NASCAR races. It's fantastic. We can't make it this year, but we'll probably be at the next one, which is what, March?
They have in March,
two a year now. So much fun. And I know people come here just for it. We actually interviewed Chris Powell, who runs the Speedway, last year, maybe even a year and a half ago. And that was when we heard that F1 was coming. And we asked him, like, well, what do you think of F1? Does this help NASCAR or does it hurt NASCAR? And it was interesting to hear his response. So let's roll that.
I think it's very good. Obviously, we're competing for everybody's entertainment dollar. We're not unlike the Raiders and the Golden Knights and the Aviators baseball, but it's good to see motorsports really take off here in Las Vegas. And I think F1, certainly the first year, 2-3 years, is going to be outstanding for our city. And you know, we live here. We want our city to be promoted. We want it to put its best foot forward. And so I had heard for years about the possibility of Formula One coming to Las Vegas and been excited about it since I've heard that it actually was going to happen. I give Steve Hill and everyone at the LVCVA and even Governor Sisolak credit for helping to draw Formula One to town. And I hope that they can have 20 plus years here as successful as we've had here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, because it's not easy. What we've done here in growing not only NASCAR, but NHRA, all the driving experiences that we have here at the Speedway, the Electric Daisy Carnival, you know, we do so much inside this, on this piece of property. And I can only hope for their sake that the people who run Formula One will feel as successful 20 plus years from now as we have felt.
Yeah, great to hear Chris Powell's take on that. I mean, makes sense. It can only help, right?
I mean, it brings people in. Motorsports are big, and motorsports fans are, you know, they're going to like NASCAR. They're going to like F1. Yeah. And it just brings more attention to Las Vegas as a motorsport city. So, you know, I love that it's not viewed as bad competition.
Yeah. It'll be good. Hey, listen, F1, we're still under construction. It's coming in November, by the way, almost here, but things are still going up. I just drove down Sands the other day, actually right near the Sphere. And they were like, you know, setting up all these things. I don't even know what they're called anymore, rafters or whatever. But you were over at the Bellagio, which is an iconic spot in the middle of the Las Vegas Strip. And I know this has really been something people have been sounding off on social media. And I think because the Bellagio is right in the center, because we have the fountain show, it's such an iconic part of visiting here. People are upset that trees came down and grandstands are going up and blocking all of that. And you said you saw the fountain show. You had a friend in town that you took to see it. it, but you had to go to the other side.
Yeah, so we pulled in. Our first stop was the conservatory over at Bellagio, which is always beautiful. Yeah. It's the fall display now. It's gorgeous. But then we walked out through Valet, and you can't watch the fountain show from the Strip currently because they have grandstands built. There's suites being built along the Strip. So that's off limits to tourists and really anybody right now. So you have to watch from the backside of the fountains.
Okay. So basically
from the Bellagio side of the lake.
Yeah. So where you pull into Valet kind of, but cross over a little bit.
Exactly. And there's a few sidewalks that go down along the backside of the lake over there at the Bellagio. And it's just, you know, the fountains are always beautiful, but it's just a different experience.
Yeah.
When there's, you know, you're looking out, you see the fountains, it's beautiful. And then just beyond that is all this scaffolding and rigging, and you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, and it's a bummer because when F1's here, we want people to see it from that way. So it's sad that our visitors, and some of them might be new coming from all over the world, won't be able to see that kind of moment. But
no, and imagine the visual of seeing, you know, the cars racing down Las Vegas Boulevard and having the fountains going off, but you're not even going to see that because all the grandstands are blocking the fountains.
Well, don't you think they'll have an overhead shot though?
They'll
I think that's going to be part of it. I have a feeling that's going to be a big moment actually. And I don't know, but I'm assuming there's going to be an overhead, and when they're driving through and the grandstands full and the fountains are going to go up, I'm sure that's got to be in the works.
But it'll be a made for TV moment and not a made for in person moment.
Well, no, because the grandstands will be facing the other way.
Right.
So it'll be happening behind them, you know? Yeah, it's a bummer. But anyway, it's what you have to do if you want to have a race that goes down the Las Vegas Strip. So many people have said, why is it on the Strip? It should be, you know, set back. But I mean, that moment is going to be, I'm not going to lie. We were driving through the other day and me and my friend were like, I mean, it is going to be kind of cool to see it, and you know, to watch it live could be really cool. We're already like, should we walk down here? Like, kind of seems like it could be a moment.
It could be a moment. It'll be interesting to see what happens and how all of this evolves over the next 10 years that the race is going to be held here too.
Yeah. So anyway, coming up starts what? It's November, around November 17th, mid-November. Oh, we want to thank our sponsors. We didn't even get to that. We usually do it right off the top, but I want to thank Hot Works, Infrared Fitness Studios. Sean, I saw something that they put up the other day and I thought, this is me. And I didn't even know going in the benefits of infrared, but I was reading something that they put out there that said, you know, it boosts your serotonin levels and that in 15 minutes, your mood improves. And you know how I tell you all the time that I go to work out at night because I just need it makes me feel better. It literally does change my mood. And I was like, oh, that's why, but it does work.
Well, and as we're heading into the season where we have less and less daylight, you know, people always talk about the winter gloom. And this is a way to remedy that.
Yeah.
Go into these infrared saunas, boost your serotonin levels, and actually come out happier.
I know. It's so true, though. It really is. Like, I think about it and I crave it all the time. Like, I got to get to Hot Works because I feel so good after. And I don't even mean like that really, even that like worn out workout, I just feel in a better mood.
Yeah.
So, but also we want to thank Vegas Near Me, an important app that you want to download. It's free. You don't have to put in a username, sign up, your email, anything. Just download it. It's super helpful.
Also, Frey Ranch Whiskey. You're going to be hearing more from them coming up here in just a few minutes as well. Incredible Northern Nevada-based bourbon and whiskey distillers. Great family, great experience we had up there visiting the farm where they grow all of the ingredients, distill everything, bottle it. It's a great operation.
It really is. And we had so much fun at the Harvest Festival, which is actually happening, the big Harvest Festival happening right now as we drop the podcast on the weekend. So we'll have more on that in just a little bit. But thank you. And if you'd like to subscribe to the podcast and donate, we appreciate it so much. We have a bunch of subscribers that give just a little bit each month, but it adds up and it helps us. And it's really helpful so that we can bring you good content, take time to edit video together, edit audio together, do interviews, all that good stuff.
Yes, we appreciate every single one of our subscribers, and there is a link down in our show notes if you'd like to become a subscriber as well. Well, we wanted to let you know about a situation that has the potential to have some really big ripple effects on the Las Vegas Strip.
Yeah. And, you know, from so many years that we've lived here, both being in news and obviously, I know, covering lifestyle and just even like tourism and all that, we've covered the Culinary Union. You know, there's always constant stories. They're great at, you know, keeping everyone in the loop and what's going on. And so we wanted to update you on a situation. And the reason we want to make sure that we got it in this podcast is because we have a bit of a mean tweets moment. I'm going to read a review that someone wrote on our podcast under Apple. We got a 1-star review because Railroads wrote, "No mention of our culinary union. It's not happening just because you don't like it. Warn folks about what's happening." So first of all, we don't not like it. I have no opinion either way, really. It's not anything that it's actually something that is a part of living in a tourist town. They're a huge part of our community and our economy. So I don't know what that person's talking about there.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, actually, before we even recorded our last podcast, we talked about the situation that's been ongoing with the Culinary Union and the negotiations for a new contract. And it just wasn't the time for us to put it into our coverage. There are a lot of listeners from around the world, and we are not going to come on the podcast and be fear mongers. Mm-hmm. We're not going to wave the flags and say, oh, the Strip is shutting down, right, blah, blah, blah. Like, if something is imminent and something is going to be happening that is going to affect you and your visit to Las Vegas, then we're going to cover it and let you know about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, we are a weekly podcast. And so we have a journalism background and we feel strongly about a lot of things. Sometimes that we table, we don't talk about because it's going to be something or a story that's going to need daily updates. This is going to need daily updates or every 2 days. And this is a podcast that drops on a certain day and it lasts all week and it sits there, you know, for a very long time. And so if we can't pop on to the podcast and update everyone with, you know, up to the minute news, then we sometimes just decide when a key moment happens, when something huge happens, we will definitely talk about it and talk about the effect that it will have on whether it's our visitors or locals.
Yeah. So we are going to update you on where things stand as of our record date right now. Mm-hmm. But I think our message to, who is it, Railroads?
Yeah.
If you would like to become a major sponsor of Vegas Revealed, there is that link down in our show notes. And your large contribution could help us to do daily updates. Mm-hmm. So if you would like daily updates, click that link down there, and we would be more than happy to provide daily updates about what's going on in Las Vegas.
That's right. And listen, you don't have to give us a 1-star, folks. Just write us ideas at vegas-revealed.com and say, I'd really love it if you'd talk about, and we will. We will make an effort to do a little bit of research. But it does take time, some time, to make sure that we get everything accurate, and we want to look into it, or we say, hey, you know what? Maybe we're not going to put it in the podcast, but let's put out some tweets and inform people. But you know what? It's a 1-star review on Apple. And you know what? I got fired from a TV job once and somebody said, so did David Letterman. You haven't made it till you get fired or you get 1 star. So I'm happy with our 1-star. No big deal. And we hope that you will give us positive reviews as well. We have a lot of 5 stars. So thanks for listening.
So here's the situation with the Culinary Workers Union. This union represents 60,000 workers in Las Vegas, mostly on the Las Vegas Strip. These are room attendants, cocktail and food servers, porters, bellmen, cooks, bartenders, laundry and kitchen workers. Mm-hmm. So the people that really make Las Vegas resorts work. They have been in negotiations with 3 of the largest casino operators on the Strip, MGM Resorts, Caesars Entertainment, and Wynn Resorts.
Yeah. And that, you know, covers a lot of the Las Vegas Strip. So it's a big deal. You know, they are in contract negotiations. They have talked about doing a picket, and there is one planned. We're recording this on a Tuesday. I think it's planned for Thursday. The podcast doesn't come out till Friday night. So we don't know what came from that, what happened. Hopefully it was peaceful. They're always really great. They let people know where they're going to be.
Right.
So that you don't, and they ask people to not cross the lines and stuff like that. So keep an eye on that, and we will keep you up to date as things progress.
Yeah. And the Culinary Workers Union did, at the end of September, the members voted to approve a strike. Right. Now, a strike is not imminent at this point. Negotiations for the contract are continuing. So there will be updates as we move forward, and we will bring you updates in a timely manner, most likely on social media, because that's where you'll get the most up-to-date information.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about Postcard from Earth. We talked about last week, we did a whole show dedicated to the sphere because people just are like wanting to know so much about it. It's one of our new incredible high-tech attractions. The whole world's talking about it, right? And then Postcard from Earth is something that's outside of a concert or a headlining show. It's headlining kind of its own thing. It's a film, and it's an 18K. You heard our interview with the director, Darren, last week, and we actually got to witness it.
And it was, I mean, visually, the footage that they have inside the sphere is just so crystal clear. And on this massive 270 degree screen that wraps up and around you, it really is something to be experienced.
Yeah. And I want to point out that it's completely different than I went to U2.
Yeah.
That was a concert experience and the whole sphere was full. Okay, like 17,500 people in there, a DJ, you know, music, a completely different experience from Postcard from Earth. This, you're sitting down, there's a smaller area that they have open, obviously less people. And that's because when you watch the film, you're going to experience vibrations. When an elephant's walking on the ground, you're going to feel the thump,
your
thump,
seat thump. Shakes.
Yeah. And you're going to feel breezes and smells. And so there's certain seats that provide that. It's a completely different experience. So, you know, don't do one and then say, well, I can't do the other. I've already been inside, if you want to do that. But it is two different kind of things.
Yeah. And keep in mind, you are watching it, all of this footage on this massive LED wall. Mm. If you go to an IMAX experience or something else similar, like a flyover kind of deal, or a Soarin' Over California, those are situations where images are projected onto a curved wall. This is essentially like a giant TV inside of the sphere. So it is just, I mean, it really is breathtaking, and it's hard to put into words what the experience is like.
Yeah. And even when we were there, I didn't even really take much video. I thought, you know, I just wanted to take it in.
Yeah, me too.
And I think that's what you should do. And I don't think that we can even, you know, provide much information as far as, you know, what you're going to see. And so I think you have to experience it. A couple moments took my breath away. A couple moments that my eyes welled up with tears because it was so gorgeous and stunning. But anyway, also something I wanted to point out, there were a lot of people on Twitter saying, you know, I was frustrated because it said, you know, the show time was 7 right. o'clock and I was, you know, waiting in line and it didn't start for an hour. And I don't know exactly how it's going to work. We were there opening premiere night, but I'm reading mostly in the Sphere fan group that it's similar. Though that's when the doors open for you to go in, because it's called the Sphere Experience. There's a lobby. There are several robots and AI robots that you can interact with and talk to. There's a hologram. There's some really cool interactive stuff in the lobby. That's part of your experience. Then you go into Postcard from Earth.
Right. And the Sphere did come out and kind of clarify the time frame of things a little bit more. As you mentioned, Dana, the time on your ticket is the time that doors open.
Yep.
About 40 minutes after doors open is when they start seating guests for the cinematic experience. And about an hour after the time on your ticket is when the production is set to start. Now, that the timing of that could adjust a little bit given the day. Mm-hmm. But generally, that's the time frame you're looking at.
Yeah. And I loved the Sphere staff that night. We had so much fun.
Oh, they were great.
Oh my God. The security, she was helping us. They were in such great spirits and just so much fun. And I'm like, listen, people are complaining about, I don't know where this. And I'm like, you know what? You got to go with the flow. It's new. It's just open. Everyone's trying to do their job. Just go with the flow for a little bit.
I walked up to the bar to get a drink and the bartender was like, hey, I listen to you guys. Yeah. She was like, make sure to give us a good review.
Yeah, they're great. Oh my God, loved it.
The staff really is so friendly there.
Yeah, so we had a great experience. If you want to go see Postcard from Earth, there's definitely different ticket prices, but tickets start at $49. Yeah. I don't think there's a bad seat in the house, personally, but okay. Well, right near there is the Wynn Las Vegas. We went over there and for a big announcement. We didn't know what was going to be announced. It was about a week and a half ago now. And then we found out that the World's Best Restaurants Awards is coming to Las Vegas. And this is a big deal.
Yeah, this is a big deal. Every year there's a list that's put out, the 50 best restaurants in the world. And then there's an award ceremony that changes locations around the world each year. And the best of those 50 restaurants are awarded. That ceremony is going to happen here in Las Vegas coming up June 5th over at Wynn Las Vegas. But there's going to be like 5 days mm-hmm. of culinary events that are going to lead up to that award ceremony.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And I know that Las Vegas is excited to have them. They're also partnering with the Venetian and Resorts World. And it's going to be a whole thing. Listen, foodies are die hard. And people in the restaurant world work really hard. They want to be the best. They want to serve the best. They want the presentation to look the best. And so I know it's competitive.
It's extremely competitive. And you're about to hear from the head of the 50 Best organization about what they do and bringing the awards here to Vegas.
50 Best Restaurants is a celebration of the very best restaurants that you can find across the entire planet. It's a ranking of restaurants, so it's not a rating system, it's a ranking system. It's different from everything else out there. And we seek to find the best restaurant in the world, and we will name it in that award ceremony.
We look forward to having the world's 50 best here in Las Vegas in 2024. And speaking of awards and the best, well, Frey Ranch Whiskey has a long list of awards, and we learned all about that recently.
Yeah, we were up in Fallon, Nevada at Frey Ranch, where they distill all the whiskey and grow all the ingredients that goes into the whiskey and bourbon. And we spoke with Colby Frey, who is the co-founder of Frey Ranch Whiskey with his wife, Ashley. Mm. And he talked to us about the worldwide recognition that Frey Ranch has received.
I'm a little bit biased. I love our whiskey. And I drink it all the time, but it's nice to get validation from other sources. And so we've gotten double golds at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition, which was great. We got double platinums at the Ascot Awards. We actually got the best craft rye out of the whole Ascot Awards, which is Fred Minnick's, the Whiskey Writers Award deal. We just got best of show for our bourbon at the LA Spirits Competition. We got top 10 in the Whiskey Advocate Fall Buying Guide, which is really my favorite because their advertisement said our best whiskey or our top 10 whiskeys, it was out of like 270, hail from Kentucky, Tennessee, Nevada, Scotland, and Ireland. And I like being from Nevada, it's so cool to see, you know, put our name next to all these other amazing whiskey growing regions and countries.
So when we took the tour to learn about the actual process of how whiskey is made, you know, we thought this was interesting. They do things a little bit different there. Colby was actually telling us that they stay away from all the cliches that come along with whiskey.
Yeah, in fact, Russell Wedlake, he's the master distiller and certified crop advisor. And during the tour, he told us that they don't really worry about aging their whiskey for a really long time. And here's why.
People are hooked on age. And a lot of people think, whiskey drinkers think, the older the whiskey, the better. The more expensive, the better. The harder to find, the better. Well, most of that's marketing, okay? I'm sure everybody here understands marketing, right? The oak thing, I kind of passionate about, and I get into it with some people. Our bourbon, 5.5 years, is like the sweet spot for me, 5 to 5.5 years. Okay. Rye, 6, 6.5 years. And people always say, oh, but 8 and 10 and 12 are great. Well, it depends on the whiskey. Oak's used for two things. Can you guys still hear me? Oak's used for two things. It's used to add flavor to your whiskey, and it's used to cover up flaws in your whiskey. Most people don't know that. And so when I see a whiskey that's aged 10, 12, 15 years, I'm like, man, how bad was that whiskey when they put it in the barrel that they had to leave it that long for it to taste good?
Yeah, and I thought that was really interesting. And he said, you know, this is my take. This is what I believe. This is what we believe. So I thought it made sense to me. Like, why do we have to wait years and years? Why isn't it good from the start?
Well, it is. It is good from the start. That's the difference with Frey Ranch whiskey.
Yeah. So listen, they do tastings 12 to 4 on Saturdays. Keep that in mind. We've had people write us and say, I would love to visit there. What do I do? It's up in Fallon, Nevada. If you don't live there, you can fly into Reno or drive in. It's a beautiful, beautiful day trip.
Yeah. And you can order Frey Ranch whiskey and bourbon on their website, freyranch.com. And please, if you buy some, be sure to take a picture and tag us so we let you know. So you let us know that you got some, and we're interested to hear what you think of the award-winning whiskey out of Frey Ranch.
Yeah, and we enjoy it a lot. It's been really good to us. Hey, let's do a quick update on the Oakland A's. We haven't talked about this much, and I think because at the beginning, it was like all this stuff was going on, and we thought we had some concrete answers, and then things were just constantly changing in approval, and no, not yet, and maybe, in the land. And so we did actually read an article recently and do a little bit of research into the fact that it's still possible and still out there, but again, not a done deal.
Yeah, the Major League Baseball owners are expected to vote on the Oakland A's relocation to Las Vegas coming up. It's anticipated around mid-November, and then I think Major League Baseball itself would have to give its stamp of approval sometime around January.
Mm-hmm. And we were reading an article in Thrillist by our friend Rob, actually, and he had a quote in there which I thought was interesting, and I was like, okay, so we kind of know that if this happens, the Tropicana is going to be blown up, as we call it. But, you know, we do that a lot here in Vegas. It's really nothing out of the ordinary. But he actually had a quote from the Oakland Athletics president. And he said, for us to build a ballpark on that land, the entire site needs to be clean. There will be some type of implosion. Part of it will be taken down manually, but part of it will be imploded. And that will be a big celebration. That will be a moment when people realize how big this is becoming. And so I thought that was a really good quote and interesting. So when I say blowing up, I mean implode.
Yeah. And the president of the A's kind of made it seem like it would be a celebration of baseball, but I think it would also be a celebration of what the Tropicana has meant mm-hmm. to Las Vegas and the history that has taken place there. It's one of the oldest resorts left on the strip right now.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of history there to be celebrated from a gaming perspective, from a culture and entertainment perspective as well.
Yeah. So we'll try and keep you updated as much as we can. Again, that's something that's always changing. We are a weekly podcast, but stay tuned to our Twitter for information on that.
Let's do tips. All right, we're going to keep our tips quick this week because we know we're running a little long here on the podcast. Our first tip is in regard to Durango Resort and Casino. This is a new resort that's opening off the Las Vegas Strip.
Yeah, and it's opening in November, but now we know you can start actually making reservations there. So, and this is for arrival starting November 21st. It's going to debut on the 20th, but they're taking reservations starting the 21st. They are ready for you. We did get a little bit of information about the rooms too and a sneak peek inside. They sent over some pictures and suites. So they're going to have queen and king rooms, and they're going to have several suites. They've got executive suites, a salon suite, a parlor suite, a terrace suite with a patio, a city view, a vista suite with a patio, and a veranda suite with a patio. And that should have a really good view because you're either going to look out to the west or to the east, and it's set back from the strip and also a little set back from the beautiful mountains. And so your view is going to be fabulous.
Yeah, it is. We're really looking forward to actually getting inside Durango to see everything that they've built over there.
DurangoResort.com is where you can go to book a reservation, or you can do it in the STN mobile app as well because it's a station casino.
Also, Halloween is coming up, and Halloween is a big time here in Las Vegas. People go all out for it. In downtown Las Vegas, there is the Rock of Horror Halloweekend downtown on Fremont Street.
And you and I actually judged a Halloween contest up there at Circa one year, and it's a blast there under the Fremont Street canopy and all that. I mean, if you want to do Halloween Vegas style, I think it's a great recommendation. And even they even say on their website, it will include a lot of interesting people watching.
It does. That is a fact.
So Halloweekend is actually a big party down there. It's going to be Friday, October 27th, and it's going to go all the way until Halloween on October 31st. There's going to be a costume contest on the 31st. It's at 10 p.m. It's on the 3rd Street stage. And get this, the top prize, Sean, is $2,500.
Man.
Yeah, so that's a good prize. Second place is $1,000, third $500. So bring your best costume and see if you make it there. VegasExperience.com/Halloween is where you can go and get more information.
And Fremont Street Experience always has a lot of free entertainment down there as well. So Halloween weekend is going to be a screaming good time.
It is. Hey, coming up next week, we talk with Mayor Carolyn Goodman of Las Vegas about the widening on the I-15 and why she feels like California really needs to step it up. And so we have an interview with her coming up. We look forward to that. Thanks for sticking with us, everyone. We hope you have a fabulous week, and we'll be back for what? 191.
191 next week.